The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, to discuss the news of the day, tell your story. Extend some friendship and fellowship. Remember, even if you don't call, even if you don't text, you're listening, and that's the important thing. You're part of this Monday to Friday get-together we call Man in Line. Just a couple of notes, by the way, from Ronald's Way Airport. A couple of delays. Logan Air's 10 past 11 to Birmingham has been delayed. Should have just got away now. It's about 55 minutes late. And the arrival inbound from Birmingham, Logan Air's 20 past 12 has been delayed to 20 to 3. Now, lots of talk yesterday, of course, about the teachers' dispute, which just goes on and on and on and on and on. Who knows when it's going to be finished? Who knows whether it may even roll into the next one? And also, a lot of comment, and thank you for many people who texted in after the programme yesterday to talk about vibrant Douglas Town Centre. In particular, North Quay, because it was yesterday that Newsons, the former Newsons warehouse, historic building, I mean, it's a very historic building, but a company wanted to redevelop it, spend millions of pounds on it, and the planners rejected proposals to demolish the registered structure, replacing it with an apartment and a restaurant complex. Historical significance of buildings. If you want to pass comment on that, by all means do. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Looking around at news on people's take on wind turbines that are being either put where they are or are expecting to see them rolled out. A few interesting news things. Honolulu in Hawaii, the residents are taking the council to court after the wind farm that they initially embraced and said, yeah, that's great, they're having major problems, even with their children, with sleep disruptions, depression, and new neurological ailments. The easiest way to spot that news thing is to look for a title called The Struggle Over Towering Wind Farms. So if you put in The Struggle Over Towering Wind Farms, that story comes up. I think it's the number one hit. So they're not too happy with that. Nearer to home, currently there's 80 Norfolk parishes are fighting against two large offshore wind farms that they're wanting to put. I think they're off Hunstanton area or something like that. Last week in Sweden, in the county of Söderum, 55% voted no, 35% voted yes, 10% abstained. So you've got a 55% to 35% no on a 72% voter turnout against a proposed wind farm. And finally, the Vineyard Wind Array, which is off the coast of Massachusetts, the Nantucket residents and now a whole bunch of other people off Rhode Island are all, I think there's about seven lawsuits against that one, which I think is partially being done by Ørsted as well. So there seems to be quite a lot of a change of heart now that people are sort of seeing that when you actually get them nearby, people are starting to go, hang on a minute.
Julian, do you think it's inevitable that wind farms are going to take over the world, as you say, and particularly in response to the one in Norfolk? Of course, as Noel Coward said, it's very flat, Norfolk. You can see for miles, so any wind farm is going to be very, very visible.
They're not only fed up about the visibility, but also if you look for that story, it'll come up pretty quick in about three or four different major media things, actually. But they want to cut a major cable thing, 80 meters wide, in right into Norfolk as well, to bring the power to where they want to distribute it as well. So they're not too happy about that either, because I think that's going to go through some sort of, should we say, protected wildlife areas as well.
And of course, in North Norfolk, I think it's around, is it Sheringham or around Hunstanton? Of course, just inland from there, Sandringham. So who knows what the Royal, mind you, you never know with Charles III, he may embrace the wind farm in North Norfolk. But I take your point. However, I mean, if we were to go back a couple of hundred years or maybe, you can't retrofit stuff, but I mean, if they were trying to sink coal mines nowadays, everybody would kick off anyway. Years ago, coal mines were sunk all over England and into Scotland, and that caused all sorts of problems with subsidence. So I just wonder whether, I don't know, Julian, whether you're pushing a closed door, whether or not that's it. Wind farms are going to happen come what may. Industry and commerce has got into it, obviously, with you know, the famous contracts for difference and this, that, and the other. There's, you know, there's millions to be made with wind farms, and I just wonder whether anybody can stop them.
Yeah, but the millions seem to be going from us to other entities, you might say, because as I think a few people have said, as a rule of thumb, you only get one day in seven, and they're extremely expensive when you factor in subsidies. And what's interesting is Germany recently now is not renewing. When they're removing the old ones, because Germany was one of the first to jump into wind turbine farms. And they're not redoing the subsidies because, of course, they've got problems now because, of course, as I think John mentioned last week, it's becoming glaringly obvious that when you turn off cheap gas, they're struggling because they haven't got the base load to actually handle. So they're sort of suggesting that people turn their thermostats down and don't charge things so much, a bit like California's having at the moment as well. But if you've got something that's taking a huge amount of public money in the shape of subsidies to appear to be cheaper, but it's when you take away the subsidies, even Germany is slowing down their deployment of new ones. That kind of says that it's not financially viable if you don't keep pouring huge amounts of money into it. So, and there are other alternatives. I mean, as you said to me the other day, nobody's talking about geothermal, which is a closed system, doesn't require any fossil fuels or anything. You've got a closed water loop that goes round, takes heat out the deep ground, comes back up. It's not fracking because it's not under that kind of pressure and they're not trying to fracture the rock. They're actually taking advantage of the fact that it's the natural cracks in the rock anyway that allow the water to seep and get that heat into it. So, but of course, with geothermal, you've got a bit of a problem because if you've got no fuel to sell to people, you haven't got that huge amount of money coming out of the public to pay for it. That's why it's probably the greenest one of all. Because it doesn't require any other fueling. It's just once it's set going, it just keeps going.
And I may be because people are afraid of the unknown, and because we've never had it before, because it's never been, I mean, in principle, it's happening all around the world in various places, but because there's no, if you like, there's no, you know, we haven't had it before, it's not kind of been part of our lives. Apart from this heating one that's been in Southampton since the 1980s, has been merrily heating a housing estate since then, we don't know. But obviously there's money around. You just wonder why the government doesn't seem to want to know about geothermal. What's your take on that?
There's no money in it. Once it's in, I mean, I think that's probably the simplest answer. If you can't get revenue off it, why would you do it? I mean, I know it's a little bit cynical to say that, but there isn't any interest in it. And yet it's the most interesting one of all because it doesn't have any, there's no real side effect to it. It just goes and away you go. You know, you get that. And especially now that they're using high energy beams to actually, you know, sort of radio frequency beams to drill deep down to 12 miles. And of course they can turn corners and sort of, in a very small area. I mean, don't forget, if you take, say, Walney Wind Farm that we see from the Isle of Man, if you compare that, say, with Poole Rose generates about 40% of what that wind farm generated last year, but is in about 3 acres, I think, you know, Poole Rose, if you look at the environs. Walney Wind Farm is about 18,000 football pitches, if you put it that way. So the amount of room it's using up
is an awful lot.
Yeah. And there's also question marks now about beaches whaling and whether it's to do with the fact that the bigger the turbines, because in more recent years, they've been putting larger, taller turbines up. And a bit like a musical instrument, the taller it goes, the lower the frequency.
Yes, yeah.
And they wonder if the beachings are causing a problem with the whales' navigation. Because as the wind farm developers say, the bigger the turbine, the more efficient it is because you're gaining more wind. But is it actually resonating deep down, underneath in the foundations and causing... Because they've measured, I think there's a guy from NASA who measured out to 50 miles from a wind farm in terms of, the infrasound of low frequencies going through the sea.
Okay, all right. Well, Julia, I've tried, by the way, and I can't find hide nor hair of this swimming pool report to the government. Have you found anything?
Not as yet. I'll put the feelers out and find out what's going on because... it'd be kind of nice to have those two questions answered. What's the answer and how much did the report cost? Seeing as Jersey just sort of like put it out there right away.
Yeah, and I got a text in from Alison yesterday after the show, after you'd mentioned it, and she just questioned, is Ballacameen High School swimming pool in the scope of this report? I think it is, isn't it?
I think they were doing all of them, weren't they, as far as I remember.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Julian, we appreciate that.
All right, thanks very much, Andy.
Good to talk to you. Yes, this swimming pool report that's being conducted on behalf of the DESC is looking at the NSC, the Glencruttery swimming pool, which I think sits within DESC, Ballacameen High School swimming pool, the Southern Pool, the Northern Pool, and the Western Pool. We understand the report has been concluded. We understand it has been sent to government. We'll just wait to hear what happens and what the conclusions are, particularly with response to the Southern Pool and the Ballacameen High School pool as well. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to supplement yesterday regarding planning and the Newsom site down on the quay there. And I give praise to Manx Radio because it's worth a little look. If you look at your news feed link in there, it gives you the state of the building when it was gone in the 1700s, when the pub that was there looked awful in those particular years. And you've got to realise, when you look at the planning application that came into being there, and I know for a fact on the same picture you've put up of the old site of Newsom's, I'm aware, because I remember somebody hitting the asbestos panels in a truck in the middle there. The void goes right from the bottom to the top of the roof. And people have to appreciate, too, where all those windows were when you're standing or you're wherever at the top, which I was at one time there. The windows are actually at belly level, if you see what I mean, Andy.
Yes, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're not windows for looking out. They're only for daylight coming in. And I just wondered, my question was, I'll throw it out there, was there anybody at the meeting for a start? And I wonder how much, and I don't know Mr. Kelly or his company, and I do wish him well for the future. I don't want him to get a downer, because I think half the population in the Isle of Man are for it, in my opinion. If you look at it there, what he's done is... Did his architect, his consultants or his expert witnesses regarding the state of the building have a chance to talk? Because when I was planning chairman, which is fine when it's a little extension and stuff like that, talking for 3 minutes and then you cut off is fine. But in a major development on a piece, which is probably worth about 8 million plus now, and the cost of the material is probably going up every day. And I just wondered how much time the developer had to put the case over, because not all can be written down and people appreciate what can happen there. So I just wonder what, was anybody at the application? I presume there was a few. I'm sorry I missed it myself, but I would have liked to listen to it. And I just wonder what each government department now, never mind the local authority, because the local authority has statutory rights. They could take it to an appeal. And I know the owner, Mr. Kelly, has said it's up for sale. But at the end of the day, who wants to buy a building that's got props on it? And it is danger of collapsing. If you take them away, he says, that's fine, it collapses. What are we going to do? Have another hole in the ground like the Villiers site?
Well, you just wonder where progress lies. What on earth is the way out of this? Because there was somebody there waiting to put their money, considerable amount of money, into it. And obviously, I mean, I've got great sympathy with anybody who wants to retain heritage, but there didn't seem to be a plan for the heritage. They didn't seem to come up with a counter-argument, you know, pieces of paper with stuff written on it as to what will actually happen. At the moment is, we know what they're against, but we don't know what they're for.
Yeah, and you look at the when you look at the shots of the quay, South Quay and North Quay, there all South Quay has been virtually developed up from the garage that does the tyres there, two modern buildings with glass frontages on, and the only criticism I probably had looking at the photographs that Manx Radio have put up, and they're worth looking at, is maybe the sign, the deep green sign there was probably too long and maybe wasn't in keeping book. That could have been sorted out. And I just wonder if there's an opportunity. And I still, Andy, think that with your power of persuasion and the people that's behind you supporting the program is, let's get this development organization that's run by government on the man in line. Let's question them. What are they doing for us for all the sites, Summerland, Park Road, the prison? And like I said yesterday, the only one they've done is the Mrs. Home and didn't leave any parking. There's a big question mark there.
Well, it's on the list. The Manx Development Corporation, we'd love to get them on Man in Line just to see, again, what their view of the future is.
Yep.
All right, thanks, all David. Good to hear from you. All right, good to talk to you. And Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there. Yes, well, here we are again on day 1370 of Groundhog Day, where Julian finds as many arguments, I don't know where he really finds the time, as many arguments as possible against renewable energy, and certainly when it comes to onshore and offshore wind. Where can I start? Again. Because the thing is that I can say this again and again and again, and people like Julian, it simply either goes in one ear or out of the other, or doesn't even go through the ear at all. So I will have to obviously, I will try and be brief and state this again and state this loudly and simply so that it can actually be understood by anybody. Right. Onshore wind for this island would provide balancing to the prices of electricity initially, yes, in the gas pricing crisis that we have now, and then would help electricity prices to then reduce as more of it became available. That was what the onshore wind would do here. And that's what something like 100 megawatts as a first phase would do. And as I said before, there are private local consortia who want to put that up and will pay for it. And you know, will pay for all the capital expense cost and you know, will pay to put it into the grid in return for the ability to sell it to MUA to sell it on in a what's called a power provision agreement, PPA. So that is one thing that could be done. The capital cost of that would be something approaching, depending on inflation at the moment. Nowadays, it would probably be something like £125, £130 million. Now, probably by the time you'd actually be able to get it done with inflation, probably talking about £150 million. But of course, that's £150 million that MUA and the Isle of Man government haven't got. Now, when it comes to offshore wind, the offshore wind provision of the from offshore wind arrays that we would be able to build around the Isle of Man, and there are four particular sites that would be ideal for that. In the initial phase, what's called AFL, Agreement for Lease, where they're developing the wind farm, that's where the big money comes in, and the big money comes in quickly, which is why people like the Crown Estates like it so much. Because, of course, the two, as I've said before, the two farms that they have, or two seabed sites for farms that they have auctioned off, they are paying now £200 million a year each to the Crown Estates. So over the 10-year life of the agreement for lease first, Crown Estates will get $4 billion. Now, with, let's say, Kruger, for example, that particular site alone, we could probably get £1 billion for that as the AFL, which would be £100 million over 10 years. And again, that's £100 million that at the moment the next Treasury doesn't have. But we just get it for allowing someone to build a wind farm. The whole point about these renewables is getting other people to pay for it, and then we get the benefit from it, and we get the revenue from it. And this seems to be a very stark and simple fact that so many people, indeed so many, far too many people actually over the past 10, 15 years in government, simply have completely either failed to understand or have refused to understand.
Bonzo, who's championing this this inside Timwald? Who is the politician who's behind what you're suggesting?
Well, it's trying to get the political force to actually deal with this. Of course, you know, you have people like Daphne Kane and Rob Mercer and Michelle Hayward who understand the economics of this. Chris Thomas, I think, as well, understands the economics of this. After all, he's a trained economist, rather better trained one than Morehouse, it seems. Then again, of course, Thomas is PPE Oxford. But the actual thrust of it, you know, has been willfully ignored. As I say, in Timwald and Comyn, one of the key reasons why we don't have all this onshore wind infrastructure at the moment is because of the willful prevention of this by Geoffrey Boot in DEFA, and also by the senior civil servants therein. Thank God now we have, as the head of energy policy, a chap called Steve Fordham, who actually used to be the UK head of energy policy at Business, Enterprise, Industry and Skills, that bit that runs Contract for Difference and onshore and offshore wind and other renewable things. So please, hopefully, and I think with a realisation at last after 5 years by Alf Cannon, that this is money that we could have and we've just been waving it away to somebody else, that we can actually start making progress on these things quite rapidly and seeing the benefits of that revenue, which we sorely need.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, thanks for putting that. We appreciate the statistics.
Okay.
And thanks for calling today.
Thanks again.
All right, it's 12:30 on Manx Radio. I'm just going to give you, by way of just background information, if you're on Twitter, if you follow Twitter, there's a really interesting Twitter site called the British Electricity Tracker, which basically tracks what comprises the British electricity supply and what it's made up of. Not directly relevant to the Isle of Man, but I'm just going to give you it as a bit of background. What the electricity mix was at 8 o'clock this morning on the 27th of September in Britain. Nuclear energy was 11.3%, gas was 38.9%, coal was 0%, wind was 38.1%, solar 0.6%, hydro 0.7%, biomass was 7.9%, they imported 0.5%, and storage was 1.7%. They were generating 35 gigawatts in Britain at 8 o'clock this morning, 38% of which was coming from wind. Now, I'm not suggesting anything, I'm just giving you that as background information. And thanks for calling today. Lots more pieces we've got to get to on Man in Line today. But I just want to... you're to hear David Crean. Now, David Crean is the boss, the chairman of Cowley Groves, who are now marketing the former nuisance site on North Quay, the one that was refused planning permission yesterday. This is the man who's going to be selling that site.
This has been going on for over 7 years with Kell Properties, and we have been their agent all along. The site was put together by the purchase of a number of properties. Newsons was the first one that Kel Properties decided to invest in, and subsequently added two more sites to it, so to give them something that was significant enough to develop into retail and apartments on a wonderful site. And I think the build cost would be something like 8 million and provide a hell of a lot of jobs and far more outlets on the leisure side for the town, which badly needed it. So the original purchase, Lewis, in terms of Newsons, was done by Mr. Kelly himself, and it was after the purchase that it was registered, and that's where the problem arose. So,
okay, that's the situation. It was purchased, then it was registered.
Manx Gas is changing its name to Isle of Man Energy. Our vision is to be more than a gas company, so we can offer customers choice in their energy management. We're committed to helping during the energy crisis by offering new solutions and services, like our smart home products, so you can use energy more efficiently. And for the future, we're looking at alternatives to natural gas, such as biogas and green hydrogen, to support the Isle of Man's green energy transition. Find out more at isleofmanenergy.im. Energy for every generation.
You'll love the choice at Pizza Napoli Douglas. Whether you're after a fresh slice at lunchtime, an afternoon meal with work, an evening of family time with the kids, or just a lazy takeaway in front of the telly. With a range of fresh wood-fired pizza, homemade ciabatta and risotto, and more. Pizza Napoli, our Douglas restaurant, is fully licensed and open from midday right through until 9, Sundays to Thursdays, and 10, Fridays and Saturdays. Book and order at pizzanapoli.im.
Nissan lead the way in electric cars. And now you can test drive the all-new 100% electric Nissan Ariya at the Athol Garage three-day event this weekend. To book your time slot, call 820082.
Is it time for your next step on the career ladder? A visit to orchardrecruitment.com could be the ideal start. Our fully responsive website enables you to quickly apply for jobs, upload and store your CV, manage job alerts, and chat live with our expert recruiters. Right now, we're looking for people in the trust and corporate service sectors. Are you a compliance analyst, a tax manager, administrator, accountant, or something similar? Then visit orchardrecruitment.com today. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
Weekend or workend, you're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
I'm not religious, but it's quite divine.
Wrap up for those autumn nights and wrap up your weekend every Sunday evening between 7 and 9 with the Manx Radio Chill Out Show. Email chill@manxradio.com.
Chris Pearson. The Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line. Brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Got a note in regarding teachers yesterday. John in Laxey, Big John in Laxey, said an easy way to resolve the teaching crisis, i.e. the shortage of teachers, is an abundance of teachers looking for work from Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, who speak perfect English. Bring them here on a 5-year work permit. They'd be more than happy for a job on the Isle of Man's, I think the Isle of Man teachers' behaviour is terrible. So this is because the NASUWT are holding out for the an increased wage settlement as well. I think it was a dismal decision by the planning committee and poorly chaired, says this correspondent on WhatsApp on 855. Each party should be allowed equal time to present their views. Actually, Kel Properties spoke to Manx Radio and said they felt the planning meeting didn't have access to well-balanced information. A Kel Properties spokesperson said the engineer supporting objections was allowed to continually speak, whereas our architect was only given 3 minutes, and our engineer wasn't allowed to speak at all to challenge what they were saying. That needs to change to give a more fair planning hearing. Manx Radio contacted the chair of the planning committee, who confirmed he can't respond to comments on individual planning applications as it would conflict him in any further consideration that may arise from the site. The planning committee, by the way, voted 3 against 2. 3 refused the site, and 2 supported it. Who sits on the planning committee, says Pete? Well, we'll get to that just to see what's going to happen. And I did mention yesterday, just I'll reiterate it, that the chair of the planning committee will be on Man in Line in a couple of weeks' time. David Ashford, MHK, will be on Man in Line. Here's a message in that just says, I've seen the photo of the new Newsoms this morning on your news. What can be wrong with that? I've said before about Jersey. Jersey looks great because people are prepared to invest. It looks shiny, it looks new, it looks well-planned, it looks modern, but they have heritage. Of course, Jersey has better weather and still has tourists. We've got no chance of turning things around, I'm afraid. We've missed the boat. The money surely will be invested in places like Jersey. I'd put mine in Jersey if I had any, says Ian. A message just to say, all the dilapidated government sites are just left as eyesores. The situation at Newsoms is replicated with the Golf Links Hotel, says this correspondent. Redevelopment costs are increasing daily, says John. A note in just to say, were there some police vehicles at Railway Terrace in Ballasalla just now? Apparently, this correspondent said, were they armed police? Well, we don't know. However, there's a sign saying police training. So if you're in Railway Terrace in Ballasalla, don't panic. We just wonder, and again, this whole subject of wind turbines comes up and up and up, and I'll be honest with you, I'm very happy for people to come on, you to come on personally, with a personally, honestly held viewpoint. Everybody's viewpoint is valid, obviously. Some people have more information, but remember, this is an opinion program. It's a public comment program. If you have an opinion about wind turbines, then you're more than welcome. In the UK, not Hawaii, the height of the wind turbine is greater than 25 metres, doesn't exceed 50 metres. The minimum distance requirement is 1,000 metres. In the UK, greater than 50 metres but doesn't exceed 100 metres. The minimum distance requirement is 1,500 metres. And the greater than 100 metres but doesn't exceed 150 metres, the minimum distance requirement is 2,000 metres, 2 kilometres. These distances are greater than in Hawaii, which could be as little as 600 feet. So it may be that the wind farms in Hawaii have less rigorous restrictions on them. But this is everything we're learning from day to day. Unbelievable planning decision regarding Newsoms, giving the weeds and the rodents freedom to flourish, says this correspondent. And the Quayside development, Carl dropped a note in just to say it's shameful that only a week after the Isle of Man government conference promised the earth to us, this gets turned down. Who would invest in the Isle of Man? Seriously, who, despite all the promises that Mr. Cannon and executive officers said last week, who would invest if somebody's willing to put upwards of £8 million into a rundown piece of property on North Quay? Historic, it is an historic property, but it's run down. They were prepared to invest £8 million. It's going to be an eyesore for another 10 years. Surely the people who want to do something with it, surely they should be forced to buy it. If they want to do something with it, buy it and come up with a plan that will be better than what was there before. G said climate change is allegedly increasing surface wind speeds. I hope the Isle of Man government doesn't invest in wind turbines, which will then not function because of the stronger winds, says G. And Simon said, why are people allowed to talk about issues that they don't have a grasp of? Well, it's a public comment program, Simon. You're more than welcome, Simon, to call up and correct anybody you think is incorrect. So if people are allowed to, as long as nobody is impolite or rude, then everybody has an opinion. The people who judge that opinion are people like you, Simon. The listener will be the judge.
Concerned, confused, or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved, and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man and save up to 15% on over 1 million seats during the big summer sale with promo code SUN15, including flights to Birmingham and London City.
Fly with me. I want to take you there. Precious moments of this journey.
Book between 21st and 29th September inclusive at loganair.co.uk. Travel from 24th of October, subject to availability.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
The Musicals in Concert returns to the Royal Hall Villa Marina Sunday the 2nd of October, presented by Stage Ed. Hear classic songs from the world's greatest musicals in a gala performance by stars from the London stage. The Musicals in Concert, Sunday, October the 2nd at the Villa Marina. Book now at villagaiety.com or on 600-555. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Sweet and Swing, served to you by the Wine Cellar.
And this is Howard Kane. Do you like your music more like this than this? Then you don't need to change channel, just tune into Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio every Friday evening. From Al Bowley to Xavier Cugat, via Geraldo, Carol Gibbons, Glenn Miller, and all points in between. Sweet and Swing, Fridays at 9 with me, Howard Kane. Served up to you by the Wine Cellar.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Oh, just a couple of quick notes regarding money. Everybody wants to know about money. Remember, just check whether you've got any UK paper £20 or £50 notes. They're withdrawn this coming Friday, the 30th of September. If you've got UK £20 or £50 paper, not the plastic ones, the paper notes, you're advised to pay them into your bank or have them exchanged for newer notes that may also be spent while they remain legal tender, although acceptance will be at the discretion of the business owner. The withdrawal from circulation follows the introduction of these polymer ones, versions of both notes, which include additional security features which will make them harder to counterfeit. Alaman Bank's going to continue to accept the discontinued notes after the deadline and repatriate them to the UK. Most other banks on the Isle expected to take a similar approach. That's this Thursday. UK £20 and £50 notes are withdrawn, so please, money launderers, by the way, do be aware that the Isle of Man Financial Crimes Unit are watching you like a hawk. Just noting. There's also just a week to go until the 6th of October, which is the deadline for submission of personal income tax returns. Submitting online is already the preferred method for the majority of the Isle of Man residents this year. You need to go to services.gov.im to find out how to get registered for online tax services and the wide range of benefits it can actually bring, which means that if you register online, you can submit and view the tax return online, get instant confirmation of a tax return submission. You can review assessments and balance details, make secure online payments, and have income tax refunds paid straight into a bank account. So that's services.gov.im. I'm sorry to bring this up, but it's the 6th of October, the deadline for submission of your personal income tax form. That's life. Only two things are certain in life, aren't there? Teachers and other trades are taking industrial action, Pat says. Pat on 223. Pensioners may die in numbers this winter if we get a cold snap because they're getting not much help from the government. What industrial action can pensioners take? Says Pat. And a note in from Graham, Graham Fox Hume. Graham's one of the people who was on Man in Line earlier on this year talking about geothermal energy. And Foxy just says, look, in addition to Julian's comments today, I want to point out that wind farms could well be breaking the law, because it's well known that wind farms kill birds in large numbers. This is obvious on shore, where bodies are rapidly removed, but offshore, of course, the smashed-up bodies just sink and get eaten by the fauna inside the seawater. Offshore, these are mostly seabirds, although migrating land birds are often affected. My point is that gulls are a protected species, at least here and in UK territorial waters. So technically, it's illegal to kill gulls, and you're subject to a substantial fine if you're caught. Therefore, unless, of course, you have some sort of exemption, the owners and operators of wind farms are knowingly, says Graham, aiding and abetting the killing of a protected species. So surely that's a dilemma for the Green fraternity. Don't have wind farms, or be happy to kill protected wildlife. Perhaps some green legal eagle can make a name for him or herself by starting a class action lawsuit. Just to remind, my advocated geothermal energy doesn't create nor suffer from any of these problems. So I just wonder why the Green fraternity hardly ever mentions geothermal energy. Here's Jill with us now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Andy. Talking of banknotes, I went to the hole in the wall the other day and they paid me out some money, and two of the notes were English £20 notes. The old ones.
The old ones?
The old ones.
Oh, good grief. And where was it? Which hole in the wall did you go to?
It was in Castletown. I won't go any further than that.
Oh, no, name them. Was it the Barclays one?
That's the only one in Castletown, isn't it?
All right, there you go. So you got an old... Well, they remember... Well, you can use them, but they technically are in the UK. They go out of circulation on Friday.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe I'll hop on a bus and go to a bank that is open and get them to change it.
Well, if you're going to Castletown, mind the scaffolding.
Oh, no, I won't go there. I'll go down to Port Air and have a day out, you know.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
All right, it's good to hear from you. Well, more comments coming in about this Kell Properties redevelopment, the old nuisance warehouse that was knocked back. Planners have rejected proposals to demolish the registered structure. It is a registered structure. That's the one thing you have to bear in mind. And an historic building. They wanted to replace it with an apartment and restaurant complex. And, of course, most of the Keys now, they've talked about it being a centre for entertainment and hospitality. They wanted to build restaurants and apartments. So does the historical significance of the building outweigh the need for the new development? There's only one person to take a look at this, John Moss.
An antique warehouse on Douglas Harbour has become a battleground between those who say as much of it as possible should be preserved and those who say a modern building is what's really needed in its place.
Once upon a time, this would have been a bustling fishing quay down here on North Quay, hundreds of years ago. Now there's a bit of a bustle going on, but it's over the future of this building in front of me. The old warehouse building used to be operated by Nuisance Trading Company. It's very ancient. It's being propped up by steel props at the moment, and obviously you can't get near it. There's fencing around it. The argument is whether it should be preserved as a part of Old Douglas's history, or whether it's basically should be ripped down and started again with a new development.
The developers, Kell Properties, describe their plans as an environmentally responsible project to rehabilitate a dilapidated brownfield site, create more homes and more jobs, while investing in the high street to create entertainment for our community. They have angry words for the planners. They say, "We feel the planning meeting did not have access to well-balanced information. The engineer supporting objections was allowed to continually speak, whereas our architect was only given 3 minutes. Our engineer was not allowed to speak at all to challenge what they were saying. That needs to change," they say, "to give a more fair planning hearing." Kell goes on,
This decision by the planning committee is a direct repudiation of the government's policy to create a better and more prosperous Isle of Man while improving the environment and our town centres. We've spent several years trying to invest £8 million to fix this crumbling eyesore, but have been unable to overcome the objections of the planners. The planners' recommendation to refuse totally contradicted last week's government policy conference. Consequently, we will be putting the property up for sale immediately to allow someone else to try. Interested buyers can contact Cowley Groves for further information.
And that's what we did.
David Crean, chairman of Cowley Groves Estate Agency. It's very disappointing that this has happened. I think the vote was 2-3 against. This has been going on for over 7 years with Kell Properties, and we have been their agent all along. The site was put together by the purchase of a number of properties. Newsons was the first one that Kell Properties decided to invest in, and subsequently added two more sites to it, so to give them something that was significant enough to develop into a retail and apartments on a wonderful site. The build cost would be something like £8 million and provide a hell of a lot of jobs and far more outlets on the leisure side for the town, which badly needed it. So the original purchase in terms of nuisance was done by Mr. Kelly himself, and it was after the purchase that it was registered, and that's where the problem arose. So
there he is, David Crean from Cowley Groves, and the nub of it there, it was registered after the property was purchased. I don't see, says Jane, I don't really see why the owner of the nuisance building or anyone is so surprised by this decision. Go anywhere in the UK or Europe and you'll see the facade of old buildings supported while secured and incorporated into a modern building within and behind. This retains history, ultimately makes for a more diverse, less homogenised townscape. It's about cost and inconvenience, really, this, isn't it? At some point in the life of a listed building, the building will have been owned by someone as it crossed from being unlisted to listed. That doesn't mean it was wrong to list it. Developers need to use imagination and design a new building accordingly. Otherwise, every historic building is ultimately under threat, says Jane. And a note in from Nigel, who said, well, Dandara did a good job keeping the frontage of the old Crescent Cinema in their apartments on Douglas Promenade. So why couldn't that happen down on North Quay? And a message in from George, who just said, Andy, look, the Newsome planning refusal, dated building status 1700 plus, but no questions when a 1700 plus house, AD 1700 plus house at Ballasalla was mowed down to make way for a road for a new development of a housing estate in Ballasalla. So what's the difference between that very historic building, the house in Ballasalla, and Newsons on the quay in Douglas? Text on 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. The phone line is 6613 68. Can the education department just let the teachers call a full strike? Let's just see how long the teachers last on union strike pay before they realise they're better off than many, says Southern Andy. It has been a case of you should see us when we're angry, doesn't it? All this action short of a strike from the teachers. We'll see what happens with that. And again, reports of this training exercise in Ballasalla. Anybody got any photos of this police training exercise in Ballasalla? Six police with guns and helmets and full gear, says this person. It is a training exercise. Don't panic. Let's have a look more notes in. Just a thought, pensioners could take industrial action, refuse to pay any taxes or rates to pay for energy this winter. What could the government do? Put the pensioners in jail, perhaps, if they don't pay, if they can take industrial action. If the teachers can take industrial action, why can't pensioners? And this correspondent says, well, if they went to jail, at least they'd be guaranteed heating, light, three meals a day and Sky Television in Jervey. Are Manx £20 notes okay after the deadline you mentioned? Well, they are on the Isle of Man. That's the important thing, isn't it? Take a Manx £20 note to the UK. I'm guessing you know the looks you get when you go there. Anyway, it starts a conversation, doesn't it? That's it for Man O'Line today. Thanks to producer Harry Kane. Christy's on next with 1 to 3 with Christy D. And Man in Line is back tomorrow at high noon. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.